why do we at the moment use this basic method of transforming text into vector representations? Given the somewhat highly extended type of the talk, I just want to explain that it should explain that I'm not interested in word embeddings, but anything larger than that. So with phrases, sentences, paragraphs, or documents. Still, the playing field is rather large because you can argue that like any layer of any neural network that processes a text represents it by a vector. So specifically, I'm focusing on such vectors that are reusable, that they can be used for different tasks, and or to vectors that have been fine-tuned for a given task, but they perform some autonomous function in that task, meaning, for example, they serve for comparing documents to each other by cosine similarity. This is a roadmap of what I would like to talk about, some basic methods, then topic models, and unsupervised and supervised neural network approaches. Let's start at the beginning. Back and forth is the simplest representation of documents. It supposes that you have the whole vocabulary sorted in a list, and then you can represent each document by a vector, where each element from the vector corresponds to the given word in the vocabulary list. This is an example. There is a toy document that contains 5 tokens. However, there are only 4 specific vocabulary items, and if you can represent it by that vector of bag, the 2 stands for the word example, which occurs twice, and all the other non-zero entries represent the rest of the words. Now, if you have a collection of documents, you can decide to set all the bag of words representation one after the other, either as rows or as columns of the matrix, and that matrix is sometimes called the multi-term matrix. Now, it's not set in stone that the entries in that matrix need to represent the raw counts. And TF-IDF addresses precisely that. It is a weighting scheme that weights the raw counts to produce different numbers. It stands for the time frequency inverse document frequency. It's well known from the information retrieval field. And it stands from the observation that not all words are created equal. Simply having observed one word in your document many times doesn't actually necessarily mean that it is valuable information for you, because you might have it might be the word that occurs simply everywhere. TF-IDF addresses this problem by the notion of term specificity, or in other words, inverse document frequency. Document frequency, without the inverse, is simply the frequency of a proportion of documents that contain the given word in question, and then the inverse of that is or corresponds to the notion of how specific the term is for the documents where it occurs. In practice, there is some additional weighting to be done both for TF and IDF terms. You might also decide to process differently your queries and your documents, but this is just a general idea of the matter. Now, latent semantic analysis is another method, and it uses a technique from linear algebra called symbol value decomposition. It factorizes the document term matrix into 3 other matrices. I created this beautiful, colorful slide to illustrate the point. On the left, you have the document term matrix, where each document is represented as a column, and by SVD, you can decompose it into 3 separate matrices. The matrix U on the left represents all the terms from your vocabulary as rows in that matrix, while the columns are basically the eigenvectors of the matrix of the their correspondence matrix. That is not shown on the slides, but that means that each term depends on all the eigenvectors from that correlation matrix, term correlation matrix. Similarly to the matrix on the right, V, that represents or that provides us with vectors for documents. And again, each document depends on all the eigenvectors of document correlation matrix. The matrix on the middle just contains the eigenvalues of the corresponding eigenvectors on its diagonal. What this means in practice, though, is that you first reorder the eigenvalues in sigma from in the descending order, remembering that you also need to swap the order of together matrices, you set the threshold k, and you pick just the top k eigenvalues with the corresponding eigenvectors. By this, you create the lower rank approximation of the term document matrix. It's no longer the same matrix, but it is the best matrix you can get given the k you can select. Now, to shift perspective, I'm going to talk about generative probabilistic models. These assume that our data are observations that have been generated by some probabilistic process that contains some hidden variables, and our task is to discover those hidden variables. Specifically, in our case, these hidden variables usually correspond to some thematic structure of our document collection, or topics, in other words. That's why these models are also called topic models. First of them is probabilistic version of the latent semantic analysis. It models the joint distribution of work and documents by the term shown on the slide. There are three variables, one observed for documents, one observed for words, and one for concepts or topics. That's the hidden one, which we are asked to discover. Now, in practice, this means we need to model two distributions, we need to create two matrices, one for the conditional distribution of the topic given a document, and then another one for conditional distribution of the word given a topic. The underlying generative process can be described best seen on this picture, which is from paper talking about different topic model, but the underlying process is the same. Let's assume we are given a fixed set of topics, and each topic is a distribution over words in our vocabulary. So you can see in the left upper corner, there is the yellow topic, which is presumably about the genetics, since gene and DNA are the words with highest probabilities in that topic. Then we have other topics about evolution, neuroscience, or data science. And each document now is represented as a distribution over those topics. And we pretend that each document has been generated by first sampling a topic from that distribution of topics that is specific for that given document, and then sampling a given word from that topic. And we put it somewhere randomly on the page. By repeating the process, we, so to speak, spray the words on that on the document, and that's, as I said, how we pretend the document was generated. This slide illustrates the relationship of probabilistic latent semantic analysis to the ordinary LSA. Again, you can see that you can model those joint distributions by two or three matrices. They are not the same as in the standard LSA, but they simply because they model probabilities, so there are some restrictions based on that, but there is some correspondence. Now, another topic model, very well known, is latent Dirichlet allocation. It assumes the same generative process that I just described, but further complicates it by saying that even the topics being generated from some Dirichlet distributions whose parameters we need to find. Now, this makes things rather more complicated, but also it makes this method the proper generative model in the sense that we can, in a theoretically justified way, model unseen documents, unlike the ordinary or unlike VLSA. They use plots, give a sampling for inference, and this works better for a smaller data set than the previous topic model, simply because of the directional prior, I would say. Now, if I knew more about LDA, I would tell you, but it is not the issue now. So now I'm going to talk about unsupervised approaches based on neural networks. The best known of them is Dr. Beck. The name is known from the software implementation that uses that, or that models it. And the algorithm is based on the main ideas from word embeddings or word to length. It comes in two different flavors. This is the first neural network that you can use. It expects a fixed n-gram of words as its input, and an idea of a document from which the n-gram was sampled. Based on this information, we want to predict the next word in the sequence. Each element of that input is represented by a fixed vector. Those vectors are combined together and used for the final prediction. It's also interesting to know that there are only three matrices in this neural network. W gives out the word embeddings, and it is shared for all the words. Then we have the document matrix, or document embedding matrix, and then there is the output matrix responsible for the shift from the hidden to the output layer. Another flavor of Dr.Lack ignores the word embeddings and simply tries to predict the content of the document just based on its IDT. Now, the obvious disadvantage of Dr.Lack is the inference stage. Whenever we come across a new document, we don't have it in your document embedding matrix, so we need to infer it. And that's done, by the way, by fixing all the remaining parameters and training your model with the new data given by the document that produces your new document vector. They did some experiments in sentiment classification information on retrieval. They concatenated both types of vectors together and found out that it works rather well, so they decided to publish the paper. Another method is skip thought vector. It is another abstraction on word-to-back ideas. It uses a model that, for a given sentence, predicts the sentences around it. It uses encoded decoder architecture, so the input sentence is processed by recurrent neural network. It produces some latent representation of that sentence, and that is decoded by two separate decoders to predict the previous and the following sentence. They use loop corpus for that because it contains many or much continuous text. And they evaluate those vectors on five different tasks by fixing the encoder that is responsible for producing the embeddings, and only training simple linear classifier for each of the five different tasks. They detailed in each of the tasks, they beat base lines, so they conclude that skip thought vectors are useful in capturing general information of the containing the sentences in sentences. Now, the last unsupervised method I'd like to talk about is semantic hashing. It uses autoencoder that is supposed to first squeeze a back and forth representation of the vector, and then it tries to reconstruct it again. These numbers just gives us the dimensions of the individual layers. You can see by the 2000 that they consider only 2000 most frequent words in the vocabulary. Now, as far as training goes, each layer is first pre-trained as a generative model by Gibbs sampling, and then it's unrolled and fine-tuned as a feed-forward neural network. They do some document similarity experiment. They find out that they are better than PFIDF and LSA, and they also find out that they are fast. Actually, that was their main motivation, because the middle vector, the embedding, is a binary vector that enables you to represent your documents directly in the memory. That enables, again, fast retrieval of similar documents in that space. Now, just to briefly mention supervised methods, I've selected three papers from people at Microsoft. They all do the same task. They all create different models for the same task. And the task is to give them a query to predict, for queries and related documents, map them somehow to the latent space so the corresponding pairs get close to each other while keeping those entities that are not related further apart. They have a huge data set based on user logs from search engines. They simply assume that whenever you click on a document, it means that the document is relevant for your query. All the documents you haven't clicked on are irrelevant. And final general note is that whenever they talk about documents, they just consider the titles of the documents. They do not process the whole web pages, which disqualifies these models from being the backbones of search engines, but still they can be useful for rearranging, for example, pre-selected set of documents for a given query. DSSM uses a simple feed-forward network It accepts word count vector and it models it into, or transforms it into a latent space. It uses, to complicate things, it uses word hashing, but it's not important. And it beats, again, it beats EFIBM, I would say, which is not surprising since this is a supervised method trained primarily to do this task. Convolutional latent semantic model is an upgrade of that. We just simply replace the ordinary p-forward neural network by CNN. And again, they use word hashing and they beat the previous method, presumably because now CNN captures at least some information regarding the word order of the sentence, at least up to the max, at least up to the pooling layers that then nullifies this information. Finally, there is also the option of exchanging CNN by LSTM, so you can process the whole sentence not as a bag of words, but as a sequence of individual words. At the end of the sequence, you have the internal state of that LSTM cell that represents the whole sentence. And that's your document embedding, basically. Again, they use the word hashing. I don't know why you put it there. And they beat the previous methods because otherwise I wouldn't put it at the end of the presentation. So the conclusion is I've just provided a couple of different ways to create document embeddings. I try to group them somehow so that it makes at least some sense to discover at least some correspondence between them. And the question is, so what? And actually, the question is a good one, and I don't have the answer to that actually. So, if you have, let me know. And that's all. Thank you.
I thought you were talking about documents representation, but these benchmarks are of sentence representations. Does it mean that you want to create such benchmark for documents as well?
No, it means that my terminology is unclear, and I mean the same thing by document, both sentences and documents. I just mean anything larger than the word.
I have one final question. What do you consider a good representation? I can imagine that if you embed a sentence or a document that can contain a lot of information that you can mine from it somehow, I don't know. It can be even something like a gender of the author. Whatever you can imagine. So what do you think a good representation of a sentence or a document contains?
I would say it's such a representation that gives you the most benefits in the widest possible amount of tasks that you use it in. So that you some just general.
What are the tasks then?
Okay, information retrieval. This could be machine translation. This could be text simplification, maybe.
Inference, natural language inference.
Natural language inference.
So the set of group of our set of tasks.
Thank you.
Do any of these representations have some numerical properties? You know, the word embeddings, people usually talk about how queen minus woman plus man equals king or something. So I would expect that document embeddings should have similar properties. For example, that when you take the embedding of the first half of the document and of the second half of the document separately, and you sum them together, you should get something that equals the embedding of the whole document, or something, I don't know. Do any of these representations have that?
I'm not aware of that. It might be the case. Sorry, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Simple answer.
Just a question, or I'd just like to mention the term meaning composition. So, you can create subordinate sentences, you can embed sentences. So, do you ever consider that in your vector representation?
Yes, I did. I wanted to include a slide about that, but then I wouldn't fit into 20 minutes. But there is a nice comparison of different embedding methods, and it turns out that the most general ones are basically based on these just simple compositions of word vectors, basically. Just using the compositional properties of word embeddings that Jonathan talked about, and just summing up those vectors, for example, and things like that. And if you train the word embeddings in a way that they, so to speak, know that they will be summed later, it can give you, at least in their experiments, it gave them the most benefit of most number of tasks. So, but when they considered one specific task, it was still better to use LSTM, for example, but this is just general approach of creating general embeddings.
So let's finish the video.